Record. Okay, good evening, everybody. Let's pick up. We're going to do the Gemara today for the second half of the Mishnah, more than the second half, to save for the Mishnah, but it's really a different case. The Mishnah, of course, that we remember, talks about bringing things from place to place and how should you carry, even when carrying is mutter, such as on Yontif. Again, we talked about that case really ad nauseum. If you could say such a thing about Torah, I mean, I'm not sure you could say such a thing about Torah, but in terms of what generally people would refer to, meaning we went through that case, went through a lot of the Gemara, went through a lot of the different Mishonim and how to explain the different things about it. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about. Baruch Hashem, Torah is the deep. Okay. If you look, I'm just going to point out one thing. Okay. So I'm just going to quickly read through the Mishnah. I'm going to read you one Rashi, and then we're going to go to the second part of the Mishnah. If you're bringing jugs of wine from place to place, you shouldn't bring them in the sala and the kupa, but you should bring them on your shoulder or in your hands. So too, if someone's bringing tevin, straw. He shouldn't hold the kupa, which the straw was carried in behind him. But he should bring it in his hand. Says Rashi, why are you bringing tevin? Why are you bringing straw on Yantif? What's the purpose of bringing straw? Says Rashi, lahasek olibehema, if you're bringing it for one of two reasons, either because you want to use it as fuel for your fire, or you want to bring it for your animal. Okay, and says Rashi, lo yafshu kubalachorov, dinai yontif, yirkim ischam alacharab, alhoch makam racho. We went through this Rashi, we talked about the two potentially different reasons in Rashi, but Rashi talks about two cases for which one would be bringing tevin, one would be bringing straw. And then the Mishnah continues, Umaskilin, and we begin, says the Mishnah, Ba'aremas ha-teven, in the pile of straw, Avalo be'etzim sheve muktza. But don't begin with etzim sheve muktza. What are we talking about, maskilin? Says Rashi, Umaskilin Baruch says, Teven lahasik, Ve'afal pishol zimnami be'od yom. Okay, he says, even though you didn't set aside your pile of straw during the day, and it's not the place where you'd usually take fuel straw from, meaning normally you would use that straw for something else. Nevertheless, you can be maschil, you can take from this area, from the arema, from the pile of teven, and you can bring that on Yantif, and says Rashi, this seems to imply that there's no inyan of muktzah, meaning normally you do not take stuff from here, and we're telling you, nevertheless, on Yantif, maschilin baremas ateven, you can begin by taking from this pile of straw again, even though you wouldn't normally take from there. Avalo be'etzim sheba muktzah, but the Mishnah says you shouldn't take from the etzim sheba muktzah. What does that mean? Says Rashi, rechava she'achorei habatim kruya muktzah, the wide area of that was behind the houses is called a muktza. Al shem shehi muktza le'achor, because it's set aside in the back, like in the backyard you had the woodshed. So you can't take the etzim that are in the muktza that are set aside behind the house. Ve'ein nichnasin ve'yotzin batadir, because you don't usually go in there to get wood. Woodshed actually you might, but it was a storage place that was things were stored for a very very long time. You'd go once a month to take stuff out. V'sham nosnin eitzin, v'chol davar shein dato lital adzman maruba. And that's where you'd put the wood and anything that you wanted to store for a very long period of time. It would be the equivalent of, a storage bin. You don't go into your storage bin every day. You go once in a while. That's where you keep stuff you want to. U'v'gemara parich, seifa l'resha. And Rashi says the Gemara is going to ask Akasha from the Seifa of the Mishnah to the Resha of the Seifa of the Mishnah, meaning these two cases, the Gemara is going to ask against each other. Because this sounds like there is a din muktza. Now, you should have come across a machlokas whether or not there is muktza or non-muktza. It's a famous machlokas for Bishon and Rabbi Huda, and we're going to see that in the Gemara right now. On this part of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, okay, I'm just going down here. Can everybody see what I've highlighted? Everybody see where we are in the Mishnah? The two dots, maskil baremas ateven?
I see.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, because only a few people are on my screen and none of them nodded, so. Okay, maskil baremas ateven. Going on this part of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Arav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Zos omeres, this teaches, maskilin beotzar tequila. You should begin with the otzar first. What does that mean? Says Rashi, the Otsar, let's jump down, Bidavar Ha'atsur, with the items that were stored away, Shehaya Mukza, Le'otsro Lizman Aruch. Says Rav Kana, this line in the Mishnah, Maschil Ba'arei Masateven, teaches us that you should go on Yontif and first you should take from these items which have been stored away for a long period of time, Ki'ai Gavna in this case, Distama Otsrin Oso Le'behema. He says, what are things doing in the Arei Masateven? It's where you store your animal food. Again, this is not the case of the Mukza. So Rashi is explaining Rav Kahana's statement. Rav Kahana says, there is no concern of Mukza even in your pile of animal food that was set aside. Okay, it was set aside for storage. It's a storage pile of animal food. You can take that and you can use it on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Mani, who is this? Rabbi Shimoni, Delesle Mukta. Because Rabbi Shimon says, there's no such thing as plain Mukta. Regular Mukta that we say you can't move, you can't move something that was set aside. That, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon says, you don't worry about that. There's no Mukta. No concern of it at all. Ima Seifa, says the Gemara. So let's see the next part of the Mishnah. Avalo be'etzim shebe Mukta. But you cannot take from the Eitzim that are, again, stored behind the house, as we said, for a long period of time, which sounds like a very similar case, Asan l'Reb Yehuda, the Islay Mukta, says the Gemara, that sounds like it's going to, according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who says that when something is set aside for a long period of time, you cannot use it on Shabbos and Yontif. Says the Gemara, no, we can answer how it's going to be, Rabbi Shimon, Hacha be'arzi va'ashuchi askinan. We're dealing with cases of arzi va'ashuchi. What are arzi va'ashuchi? What's an erez? How do we generally translate erez?
Cedar.
Cedar. And what's ashuchi? So I looked it up. In modern day Hebrew, it's a fir. Rashi says erez nekeva is an ashuchi. But what's the point of saying arzi va'ashuchi? How are arzi va'ashuchi different? How do they solve our problem? Says Rashi, in adam masik osam, de'om din levinyan. No one would ever burn cedar wood. Cedar wood is not something you burn as firewood. You're supposed to go ahead and use it for building. And therefore, says the Gemara, the mukta machmas chisaron kis. These are things that people are machmed on. It's a very fine, special type of wood, right? You wouldn't go out and buy, you know, fancy stress-tested wood. Reminds me, there was a Gordon Corman book. I think it was I Want to Go Home, where I think they used some kid's mattress slats to build, you know, like a box in woodworking. And, you know, they're talking about the different uses of the wood. And then the poor kid goes to lie down his mattress falls down. It's a person who's playing pranks at camp. But that's the thing. You don't use special types of wood just stump to burn. You don't toss those in as firewood. You use junky wood and the good fancy wood you use to build. And therefore, says the Gemara, this would be a case of muktzamach maskisar on kis, va'afilo Rabbi Shimon modeh. And Rabbi Shimon, although he doesn't hold of muktza as set aside, he does hold of muktzamach maskisar on kis. That, he says, you're not allowed to move. And therefore, both the Resha and the Seifa of the last part of the Mishnah are going according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The first case, which is Mutzer, is because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Mukta. And the second case, which is Aser, it's because it's Mukta Machmas Kisar and Kis. Everybody's very careful with their Arzi Va'ashuchi. Go ahead, yes?
Is that a very odd thing for Rashi to say? Like, since when are trees male and female?
I it could be just based on the way they were identifying trees in those days. That it may have been known. I mean, I don't know. I would be interested to know, you know, you'd have to look to the French of this, but maybe one of the trees was called, sorry?
Trees are male and trees can be. Like an Etrog tree has both genders. So in order to pollinate, you have to make sure you have it proper.
No, but you usually need two trees. They're not male and female, just that they both have.
They're categorized as male and female.
Again, it would have to know how they were categorized in France at the time. I know that we wouldn't categorize them as male and female now. Like if you were to ask someone what a tree is, you would say it's this type of tree and this type of tree. You wouldn't say it's this type of tree and its female counterpart. But it could be that that was the classification then. That's what I'm trying to say. It could be that the names were similar and one was a female conjugation, one was a male conjugation. That's what I'm saying. We'd have to know a little bit more about how the botany of the time went, which frankly, I didn't get a chance to do, and I don't think I'm going to have a chance to look into. But the point is, these are two different types of trees that were generally used, as wood for building. These were not things that were used as firewood. Okay? Fine. Next. Then the Gemara says, Ika demasni la asefa. This here, right away, was a little bit hard for me to understand. There are those who learn this on the Seifa, Avalo Be'etzim Sheva Moksa, which is the Seifa of the Mishnah, but not on the Be'etzim Sheva Moksa, Amar Rav Kahana, Zos Omeres Ein Maskilin Be'otzer Tchila. Rav Kahana says, this teaches that you may not begin with something which is stored away, money, and whose opinion would that be? Rav Yehudahi, the Islay Moksa. And the simple pshat is, if we're just talking about, again, the Be'etzim Sheva Moksa were just wood that was stored away for a long period of time. You weren't intending to use it. And therefore, Behuda, who says something which is stored away, you can't move on Yantif and on Shabbos, Mokta. Imaresha, says the Gemara. And that teaches you, Ein Matzfilin Ba'osar Tchila, says the Gemara. Imaresha. But what about the Resha of the Seifa of the Mishnah, which says, Matzfilin Ba'aremas Ateven? And that doesn't sound like it was set aside for that. Asan Rabbi Shimon, the Leslie Mokta, is that going to be only according to the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't say that there's, who says that there's no Mokta? Says the Gemara, no. Hasan Bitavna Saria. That case, we can even establish according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's dealing with Tavna Saria. What's Tavna Saria? Tavna is Teven. Saria means Nirkav Umasriach, says Rashi. She'ein Ra'oi Lema'achal Behema. Ustame le'etzim velo la'achila. Behainu le'otzar. We're going to get to back to the final details of this Rashi. Rashi says, we're talking about gross, tevin. He says, it's not even fitting for ma'achal behema. The behemos won't eat it because it's so disgusting. And therefore, what's the only thing it could possibly be fitting for?
Burning.
Firewood. Fuel. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it's not moksa. Why? Because it's set aside for burning, right? Because that's its own, the only possible thing that it could be used for. Therefore, the whole Mishnah is going according to, this whole Sefer of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's how he establishes the first case. Says the Gemara, Tavna Saria hachazi latina. Says, don't think Tavna Saria is so useless. You can use it to latina, latit, lilbon levenim. Go back to Mitzrayim and write, what did B'nai Yisrael collect in order to make their bricks? Tevin. That's how they used to make bricks. You can use it to grind into the cement. So says the Gemara, even if it's smelly, old, gross tevin, you can still use it for something else. So even according to Yehuda, it shouldn't be moksa. Says the Gemara, no, diyespe kotzin. It has thorns in it. And why does that make matter? Because how do they used to grind up the cement? With their hands and their feet. Now, when you have thorns growing in there, you don't want to do that. Therefore, the only thing it's possibly used for is, again, firewood. So therefore, we have two ways of reading the Mishnah. The simplest way that we would have thought above is that one is Rabbi Shimon and one is Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, no, you can read it entirely like Rabbi Shimon, or you can read it entirely like Rabbi Yehuda. Entirely like Rabbi Shimon would be to say the first case, which doesn't seem like there is Mokta, is his actual opinion. And the second case is a case of Mokta Machmas Chisaron Kis, which even he agrees is Aser. And to read it entirely like Rabbi Yehuda is to look at it and say, no, really the second case, which says you can't take from the Otsar, is sort of the classic case. And there's an exception to the first case, that is Tavna Saria Deis Bekotzim, which can only possibly use for firewood, and therefore there's no concern of of Mokta. Clear? Okay, so let's take a look at a couple of inyanim here. Number one, let's start with the source sheet. First of all, how on earth did we get into the Muktzah conversation in our Mishnah? Should be a very obvious answer, but just in case we don't answer it, we can see various Mefarshim answer it for us. Why are we talking about Muktzah? We're not talking about Muktzah, we're talking about Uvdin Dechol. How did we get into Muktzah? I'm just looking for the basic, simple pshat. Nothing.
Well, maybe weren't they talking about Tevin in the Resha?
Thank you. We were talking about what type of Tevin you should bring.
So then they went into this thing with where you can get the Tevin from.
Exactly. So various Mefarshim. Note that some of them noted outright. You can see, I'm just going to share my screen now with the source sheet on. Sorry. Simple as thing. umaschilin. What does the word maschilin mean? Umaschilin likach mimeno beyom tov tchila. Meaning we're talking about what you take. You know, how much schlepping the tevin. Where should you take it from? Take it from there. Now, what I wanted to talk about, we saw the Gemara, we saw Rashi. We might have done Tosfos. I'll wait for Tosfos to later see if we have time, because it's really not that close to what we're going to talk about today. The main thing I wanted to talk about today is Akasha for Bekiva Eger. Bekiva Eger, he asked this on Mishnayos, but it's brought down also in, you know, it's hard to know ever what Bekiva Eger wrote on originally and what people moved it to. You can see this Kasha in the Gemara. He wrote obviously on lots of things. But you can see this Kasha in his, you know, commentary on the Gemara. You can see this Kasha in his commentary on the Mishnah. I brought it as a Mishnah discussion because Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kashas on Mishnayos are generally dealt with the Mefarshei HaMishnah. We're going to talk about today two other Mefarshei HaMishnah, interestingly, that actually lived quite close to when Rabbi Akiva Eger lived. And we'll get to read another Tiferes Yisrael. I don't know if anybody remembers from, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago at this point. We brought it to Tiferes Yisrael in Boaz. And it was like so poetic. So we'll see another Tiferes Yisrael in Boaz today, Emir Tzashem. But let's hear Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kasha. Rabbi Akiva Eger goes to pick on, you know, on the Mishnayos, he picks on the Rav, Rabbi Avadya Mevar Tanura, but he also picks on Rashi. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger in source number 2. What does the Bar Tanura say on this Mishnah? He says, V'lo hayaragil lahasik mimena. When the Mishnah said umaschilin ba'arema sateven, you should begin with the straw, the pile of straw, says the Bar Tanura, because you normally wouldn't burn that straw. Mashma de balom, or says Rabbi Eger, the implication of the Bar Tanura is demikomako maschilin lahasik. That what are you coming to do here? You're coming to take this teven to burn. And the chiddush is, v'lo hayarag ilahasik mimena. Normally, would you use this pile of teven to burn? No, normally you'd use it l'macha behema. Kamash malan, says the Rav. And as we're going to see, says Rashi, even though you're normally using it l'macha behema, here you're using it l'hasaka, and that's okay too. And he says, v'kach kasav Rashi lehedya, maschilin baremas ha-teven lehasiko. You can begin with it, meaning that's where you're going to burn first. Afal pishal azimna mi ba'od yom, v'lo hayarag elahasik mimena, deles le moksa, because this goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. V'kashali frechter b'kiveker, dimimanafshach. Says, how are you going to understand this Mishnah? Im eino otsar, if this pile here is not actually a storage space for something for a long time, ma mukze bazeh. Meaning, if this is just like opening your cupboard, right? Let's assume that the Arema Sateven for a moment, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, let's assume that it's like your cupboard in your house. Meaning, it's set aside for some use. It's sitting in your house. He says, Ma mokze bezeh, afteimo omid lahasaka mikol makom, kevan sheyachol lito lahachil behema, yachol lasos bo kol tzarko. Dehamasikim ba'ochlinu v'kelim. And he brings you another sukkah, which says, the halacha is, so long as you have some use for this in regards to ma'achal behema, you're allowed to burn it. You're allowed to burn ochlim, and you're allowed to burn kelim. Right? Af l'Rabbi Yehuda. And this is even according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chim kasev magen avram l'adra simen tafkuf yudches, tzivkat an yud. And he says, and this is paskin l'halacha. Meaning, because we paskin, as we're going to see more hopefully next week, of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And what we hold on Yontif and what we hold on Shabbos. But the point is, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's normally machmir on muktzah, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's quite clear, lehalacha, that there, once you have a heter, once it's set aside for ma'achal behema, there is absolutely no issue with burning it on Yontif. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that can't be the case. Right? Because what would we're going to see? V'i demayri ba'otzar, and if you're going to tell me that this case of maschilin ba'arim asateven is that, no, this is not like in your kitchen cupboard. This is not like set aside for machal pehima. This is some sort of otzar. Im kein l'man de'islein mukta asr l'hachal mimeno le'behima. He says, and if it is stored away, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's going to be the halacha? You can't use it for any purpose. Not just that you can't use it for burning, but you can't use it for animal food either. And here's his question. Im kain frekter Rikki Veger, lemai hilchasa nakat rashi demasnil nahasik velo kipshuta demasnil marimasa teven lehachil libehima. He says, what should Rashi have said? Rashi should have said, rather than saying, I'm going to pull up Rashi again on our screen. Rashi here on top of the page wrote, dun da da dan, umasil baremas atefen lahasik. Va'afopishkel zimna mibodion v'lo hayaragi lahasik mimena, says Rashi. Rashi says, what's the case? You're a case of burning. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, mimanafshach. If you're going to say that it was not an otsar, it's going to be just as mutter for burning as it would be for feeding your animal. And if you're going to say it is an otsar and it should be muktzah according to Rabbi Yehuda, well, it's going to be just as usser to feed your animal as it would be to burn. Meaning, what he's trying to say is, it sounds like Rashi's telling you a chiddush. Hava amina, that you wouldn't be allowed to burn it. Kamash malan, you are allowed to burn it. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, no, whichever way you understand this, the halachos are the same. So why didn't Rashi say that it's lahachil lebehima? Uma chidush yoser bahasaka milahachil lebehima. Says, what's the chiddush? He's telling you more about hasaka than from feeding it to a behema. Fitzarech il. And Rabbi Akiva Eger ends off in Akasha. He says, I don't get it. I don't understand what the chiddush of this Rashi is. Rashi goes out of his way. Rather than saying the simple pshat, right, and I'll point out to you why that's the simple pshat. You could question Rabbi Akiva Eger, why should Rashi say machal behema over hesek? So here's why. If you look down in the Gemara over here, distama otrinosa lebehema. The aremas ateven, Rashi seems to say in the Gemara, right, was again mistama lamachal behema. So why is Rashi saying lahasek? And if you're going to tell me because I would have thought that I can only use it for machal behema and not for hasaka, that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger demonstrated is not true. That the halacha is from other Gemaras, you know, Gemaras around Shas, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you are allowed to use it to burn if it's ra'oi l'machal behema. So this is Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha. All clear on the kasha, or do you want me to go through it again? It's not simple at first, but once you get it, you'll get it.
In other words, why did Rashi have to bring up the burning thing altogether? Machal behema and burning are equivalent? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
You say machal behema, you're saying burning. It's the same. If you're allowed to for machal behema, you're allowed to burn it.
Correct. So the way that Rashi phrases it is that it sounds like an extra chiddush. That's the biggest question. Right, Rashi saying, oh, afal pi shel zimna mibonyon, velo haya ragi lahasik mimena. Right? It's like, oh, you didn't normally. She's saying, what do you mean? This is a gemara. Like, well, right, what's Rashi saying? This is really the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And we'll see three responses to this kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eger from three people who lived, you know, in groups of 20 or 30 years after him. So the first one who lived closest to him was the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael was born about 20 years later. And Tiferes Yisrael in Boaz, as we noted before, writes extremely poetically. Let's take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael. First, what he does is he quotes the Bar Tanura, the kachas of Rashi, and this is the Aleph that we have up here in source number Aleph, that the Tiferes Yisrael linking you to Boaz. Okay? Well, okay. Sorry, my wife wanted to know if she should not walk by while we're having this year. Okay. Says the Tiferes Yisrael. V'kachas of Rashi masnil l'hasik, ashtolzim l'hasik, leslay moksa. Okay, so he brings Rashi, he brings the Bar Tanura, that again, the chiddush is hasik. V'kachas of Allah hagon hagadol, right, Moreno Rav Rabbi Akiva Shlita Vizelashana, right? So he was still alive again. He was only born 20 years after him. So he quotes your Rabbi Akiva Eger here, which he must have. I don't know when Rabbi Akiva Eger printed, when these Tosfos of Rabbi Akiva were printed, but he has them. And this is, again, someone in his, you know, Bendoro, practically. He's a few years younger than him, 20 years younger than him, but they're both big, you know, big leaders of the Jewish community at that time. And he quotes Rabbi Akiva Eger and he asks this question, right? And it basically says, Vata'al Shechvas Hadal. So first of all, plays on words from all over Tanakh. V'nikol omer kara, didalu daila, lipal b'chon, seser peser, gavra rabba. So I don't know what all this stuff means. This is all fancy plays on words. And he's basically saying, who am I? I'm a nobody. What can I say? But nevertheless, gavra rabba kachazinan. I see a great person. Avokushya lo chazinan. Says, but I don't see any kasha. Dimas safek yesh bedafar zeh. He says, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, mimanafshach, right? Rabbi Akiva Eger says there's two options. If it's a case of otsar, if it's a case where it's stored away, then this. And if it's a case of not otsar, then that. Says it's Tiferes Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva Eger, I know this is a parish on Mishnayos, but we just learned the Gemara. And what does the Gemara seem to understand our case in the Mishnah as? He says, I'll tell you. Dimas safek yesh bedavar zeh imas nisin mari bo'otsar lo. Mat tzarechion yesh bedivar Rabbeinu Rashi zecher tzadik v'chadosh lebracha. Uvimechilas hakvod toras hagon hagadol neiro yair ishtamite hagemara arucha bimikoma. He says, look down the amud. What does the Gemara say? Maspilin beotzer tchila. That's how the Mishnah explains this lashon. Maspilin ba'arei masatevin refers to what? A case of otzar. Right? Bidavar ha'atsur. So he says, Rekiva Eger is telling you, if it's atsur, if it's not atsur, he says, what do you mean? The Gemara is very clear. It is a case of otsar. Right? And he says, and even according to the second Lashon, which works on the Seifa, even that second Lashon agrees that the Reisha of the Seifa, again, the case of Maspilin Barei Masateven, is talking about a case of otsar. So jumping back for a moment, again. And here now he's going to explain the Gemara. He says, therefore, if the Mishnah is talking about Otsar, he says, which the Gemara is very clear about. So Rabbi Shimon de Lesley Moksa, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says there's no issue of Moksa. Kamash malan resha baremas tevin. The chiddush of the Gemara is, in the case of the aremas tevin, afal gav shestama otzrahu lebehema, even though he misdama put it aside for, again, machal behema, afilu hachi lo nesar lahasaka mitam mukza. Even so, it's not going to be asur for burning mitam mukza. The eitzim sheve mukza de seifa da asir lahasaka, mairi nami baotzar. And again, the Eitzim and the Muktzah and the Seifa, those are specifically also talking about an Otsar. The Hayu Eitzim Chashuvin Shemuktzah Machmas Chasaran Kislak Lahasakov Chayagav Nagam Rav Shimon Moda. So he explains to you the sheet of Rav Shimon, very nice. Ul Rav Yehuda, the Islay Muktzah, Lehachi Eitzim Sheba Muktzah Shalom Zimnin Lahasaka Shapir Asir. He says, I'll tell you why the Eitzim and the Muktzah are Asir. You know why? Because Islay Muktzah. V'resha b'tevin d'shari, ah, shehaya b'otzar. And what about the resha, which is tevin, which seems to be mutter, even though it was stored away, which should be a stira to Rabbi Yehuda's position. Mari b'lo chazu l'beim avlo l'binyin. It's talking about where, again, they weren't fit for any other purpose. V'az mistama atzru l'hasaka. Kol zeh bar b'shas v'rashi b'gemara yu'yin sham. Says Tiferes Yisrael, I don't get Rabbi Akiva Eger. Does anybody understand what the Tiferes Yisrael is saying? Let's review. What was Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha? Rabbi Akiva Eger.
He seems to be saying that in an otsar, it's always for the behema, that when you put something in otsar, so it is a fiddush. Now, even according to, Rabbi Shimon, you might think because it's in an otsar only for behema, then you can't use it for hasak.
That's what he sounds like he's answering, right?
Right.
That was literally the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger's whole point was, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, see this line over here that I'm highlighting? Even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, if something is set aside for Machal Behema, you can burn it. And you're telling me that's the chiddush of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon? How could that be? Right? And it's almost like, he says, kvod toraso hagon hagadon, in this case, zatal or zatukul. I don't understand how Tiferes Yisrael would have answered Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha at all. He did decide which of the cases of the Miman of Shach is correct. He said, Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's a kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eger, in as much as Rabbi Akiva Eger said, Miman of Shach, however you're going to understand the Mishnah, it's not going to work. He said, there's no miman of shach of how you understand the Mishnah. You have to understand it this way. But guess what? The kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eger as to why Rashi would say hesek, what chiddush is that, still stands.
So I'm going to say, Well, the lessons say that this idea that like that was stated as a principle. If it's mutra la fila, it's mutra la saka. It's real help that if that's a general machal behema, but if you specifically make it a machal behema, you say only machal behema, then it's no good for hasaka. Maybe that's what it's saying.
Baruch Shekivanta. Zaktis Fas Emes. We'll skip to that, then I'll get back to explaining the machlokas in the Gemara. Says this Fas Emes. Beautiful, beautiful teretz. Mishnah. Maskil Marim is a Tevin. Ein Betosfos Hagon Rebekiva Eger Zal. Okay, this was, you know, almost 100 years after Rebekiva Eger. Shehik Shal Mashikasav Rashi Behar Av Lahaskil Lahasik. Baal Korchach Gam Lahaskil Lahachilan Lebehema. It's Mar Haidina. Right? They say it's going to be equivalent. Zakol Amuchan Lachilas Behema Motzabasik. Moshkasav Magan Avram Ein Sham. Says this fast MS, Ulfia Niasdati and Ulfia Niasdatcha Nira. Didn't he distam Ochlim Bekalim Mutarim Behesek? Regular Ochlim Bekalim, Mikomakom, Hamunach Beotsar, Umi Yuchad Lamachal Behemos, Avimok Silagabe Hasaka. He says, Avade, when the Gemara says that anything which is Muchan Achilos Behemos Mutar Lamhesek, and that's even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's only if stam, it's something that's sitting around, stam kalim, stam ochlim. But if it was set aside specifically for a particular ochel purpose, like what you said, sorry, the screen jumped up there, that, in fact, is going to be muktzah for all other things, even according to Rishimon, which is still, to me, a tremendous chiddush. But nevertheless, that's what he says, right? He says, havei muktzah legabei asaka, uvah mechalkin mitav nasari yelashar teven. He says exactly what you said. Mamish, you know, I don't think you could have found someone saying it more word for word. That when something is stum, used for macha behema, used as a kli, it's mutar bahasaka, and not even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Masha Einkein, though, if it's specifically set aside, like Rashi writes in the Gemara, right? Right, laotzel is manorchi agavna de stama otrin also lebehema. So he would say it's not stama otrin, it is otr lebehema. Right, you could fetch a little bit of Rashi, and this actually I had it as a bit of a kasha on the Sfas Emes when I saw it. But nevertheless, that's what he seems to be saying. Then you're otrin also lebehema, and that's going to be what's going on over here in the Sfas Emes, that there it's set aside specifically for machal behema, and therefore you don't have this rule of lasaka. That's the chiddush of Rashi and the Bar Tanura. Now, in the Sfas Emes here, there's actually a terrible mistake. I don't know who wrote these brackets. It probably wasn't him. I don't know if this was someone who wrote it later. Maybe it was him. But if it was, then it's simply a misunderstanding. That Shita Mekubetzes, I checked it up. That's not what the Shita says. If you look back here in the Gemara, right? Here's my Gemara over here. Rashi says that on the previous Amud, when you were bringing it, l'macha behema l'hasaka, and that's what the Shita Mekubetzes quotes, this Rashi over here, l'hasek o l'behema. But the Shita Mekubetzes does not say it in another case. It could be, you could have said, he implied that, but it's not at all clear that's all what he would have had. Okay, so that's the Sfas Emes, very beautiful answer. You know, it comes to what he says. I still think there's a bit of a chiddush, and I think it's a little bit weak in Rashi. Rashi says, mistama, it's l'hachil l'behemto. You know, he's saying it's absolute l'hachil l'behemto, but nevertheless, it's a good question. So what's going on here? We had our question, getting back to our original question, though, which was, Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying, miman of shach, you're going to be stuck. There's no difference between hasaka and l'hachil behema, so why are you specifically saying l'hasaka, making it sound like it's a chiddush? And to Pharisee Yisrael saying, what's your problem? The Gemara says very clearly it is otzar, right? And those essentially are not answering the question. So I'll tell you how I think they read the Gemara. I think it's very important to look at the Gemara through the eyes of the Girsa of Rashi. There's a very strange Rashi that I glossed over on the next Amud. Who can spot it? We'll have, I spy. Which Rashi did I skip that sounds very odd in the Gemara? Okay, we're looking at these Rashis at the bottom here.
Shedamer Yekarim?
It's
I did skip that, but that's an explanation of what does it mean, machmas chisaron kiss, meaning why would the eitzim be moksa machmas chisaron kiss? Good call. I did skip that one. Okay, let's take a look. I'm going to read through the Gemara again, and I'm going to read Rashi in with me this time on the second half of the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara. Ready? Ika demasni la asefa. There are those who teach it about the seifa, says Rashi. Demasni la lidarav kahana. They teach Rav Kahana's words. What did Rav Kahana say? Am Rav Kahana, zosemeres masmin bo tzrila, right? We saw that above. So Rashi says,
here he says Enos. Where they changed Rav Kahana's statement completely, right?
So that's what I'm going to get to. Very good. When Rashi sees these words, Ika demasnila seifa, he says, what does it mean, demasnila? Lida Rav Kahana. Avalo be'etim sheb b'mukta. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Zoso meres ein maschilim ba'otzer tchila. Now, if I'm going to ask you, you're going to be Rashi for a day. When the Gemara says Ika de Masnila Asefa, and then is Masnila Asefa, do you need to say what? Do you need to say whose statement if the statement immediately follows? I wouldn't say it. The Gemara literally says Ika de Masnila Asefa, and then says Rav Kahana's statement. Now here, Rav Kahana's statement, as you correctly pointed out, is reversed. What does it say up in the top of the Gemara? Zosameres Maschilin Ba'otzer Tchila. What does it say in this stage of the Gemara? Why does that flip? Well, the simple pshat of the Gemara is because we're just saying whether the simple thing should be that you are maskil ba'otzar or not maskil ba'otzar, right? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, maskil ba'otzar tchila. According to Rabbi Yehuda, ein maskil ba'otzar tchila, right? Meaning, the simple way to read the Gemara is as follows. The Reisha is saying you should, Rav Kahana is being medayuk from the Reisha, that you should begin with what you have piled up there, namely the Aremas HaTeven, and that's the Diyuk of Rav Kahana from the Reisha. And some people, and then we asked Akasha from the Seifa, saying, how could you say that? You can't take the Eitzim Sheba Mokta. And we answered that for Rabbi Shimon. The next time the Gemara brings it is the reverse. The Gemara brings it, Ika Nasu La Seifa, Velo Seif Sheba Mokta, Rav Kahana, Zosemeres, Ein Maschilin Ba'otzer Tchila. That he's talking about the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa of the Mishnah teaches you that you can't start with Stam Otsar, either Zakasha from the Reisha, and then we answer that for Rabbi Yehuda. Clear? Meaning that was a simple way where the Gemara didn't bother anybody at the time. Nobody came to me and said, how could we change Rav Kahana? Why? Because it makes sense. Somehow, either Rashi didn't have this girsa of Rav Kahana, which is why he probably says Demas Milad de Rav Kahana, or he had the same girsa as the first time of Maschilin. Rashi did not have the word Ein. How do I know that? I'm going to tell you now how Rashi read the Gemara. Look at Rashi Tavna Sariya. Okay? Nirkav umasriach, she'ein roi lemachal behema, ustame le'etzim velo lachila, v'hainu le'otzar. He says, that's the case of le'otzar. Okay? He says, the case of Tavna Sariya, which is the Reisha of the Mishnah, of Maschilin Ba'arei Masat Heven, is the case of an otzar. Now, this Rashi makes huge problems. Why? Because according to our gears of the Gemara, the whole point is that was not Maschilin Ba'otzar. Now here Rashi's telling you that you are Maschilin, but what's going on? And take a look at all the Mefarshei Rashi. You can see it in the corner with this little Samach here. I'm going to jump up to the Samach. What do we get? Lav Le'otzar. Kach Tzarech Lomar. Maharam. Ha. All the Achronu come and say, Rashi said Otzer, he meant Lav Lotzer. The problem is, that just simply doesn't read well into Rashi. You look back to Rashi, Rashi's language mirrors exactly Rashi Be'otzer. Rashi says, what does it mean, B'davar Ha'atzor? Right? Right? Stamei Le'etzim. It was Mistama set aside for Etzim. It sounds like he's talking about Otzer. So how did Rashi read the Gemara here? Okay? We read the Gemara one way. Okay? And that was the way of the Tiferet Yisrael. Rashi read the Gemara differently. Rashi read the Gemara as Ika Demasni La Seifa. There are those who said it on Avalo Be'etim Shebim Mukta. That Rav Kahana's words, though, still apply to the Reisha. Meaning we learned from the Seifa that Rav Kahana's words are Maschilin Be'otzer Tchila. How did we learn that? Says Rashi, because let's take a look. When it comes to the Seifa of Avalo Be'etim Shebim Mukta, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. Is that a case of Otzer, says Rashi? No. That's a case of what Rashi would consider like super otsar. However, then the Gemara asks, "Ay, ema reisha maskilin barima satavnas on the Rav Shimon." Less than Mukta says the Gemara, "No, hasam bitavna saria." Now we're talking back about the reisha again. We're explaining the reisha according to Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on in the reisha according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says the reisha is a case of tavna saria. Says Rashi, that's the case of Otsar. Meaning Otsar is a heter even for Rabbi Yehuda. What's the heter of Otsar for Rabbi Yehuda? He holds of Mukta. The heter is Tavnasaria. The heter is that it's stored away for this purpose. Right? Stame le'etzim. So the words maschilin be'otsar tchila in the Reisha means you've got to take the stuff that's set aside. Mistama le'behema. And in the way, according to the way that we're reading it now, we're saying stame le'etzim. That's what the word otzer means. And that's why even according to Rabbi Yehuda, maskilin ba'otzer tchila, not ein maskilin ba'otzer tchila. That's the whole point that Rashi is explaining. And that's why Rashi doesn't say these words on the case of avalo be'etzim shebim mukta. If Rashi had the girsa ein maskilin ba'otzer tchila like we do, he should have said avalo be'etzim shebim mukta, that's the otzer. But it's not. Both Shitos in the Gemara really are going within the same Mahalach according to Rashi. So now, how is this going to get back to our Machlokas between the Tiferes Yisrael and Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Tiferes Yisrael looked at the Gemara, he says, right? Dibibbeis halashonos tenachar ashas betarvayu amrinan demas nisin ba'otzar mairi. Uler of Shema, the last day Mokta, he says, everybody agrees the case of the Mishnah is a case of Otzar. And that's fine. Right? That works out great. That's how he's learning the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the other hand, he says, no, if you look at the second Lashon of the Gemara, it could be the Mishnah is not talking about a case of Otsar. He can read the Gemara differently. Right? You don't have to say that both are showing that the Mishnah is a case of Otsar. You can say that one says the Mishnah is a case of Otsar, the second Lashon says not. And that's why his two Lashonos mirror exactly what the Tiferes Yisrael explains according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Yehuda. And this is his Mimanoshach. Bekashali says Rabbi Yehuda, Mimanoshach. Im eino otzar ma mokta bazeh. Afte eino omid lahasak. Let me call makom shem yachalita lahachal v'hema yachalas is vokal tarko. It's equivalent. He says if it's not an otzar. Okay, and why is he saying if it's not an otzar? Because we have that opinion in the Gemara. Right, Masha Imkin v'idimayri be'otzar, which is the other opinion in the Gemara. Imkin lamande isle muktzach to lahachmiyanu lebehema, and that's not going to work either. Okay, so this is the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger learned the Gemara versus the Tiferes Yisrael. That the Tiferes Yisrael, the way he's learning the Gemara is that the Mishnah has to be talking about a case of otzar, and therefore, what's his mimanafshach? What's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's mimanafshach? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says no, you can learn the Gemara differently. I think this is based on how you read Rashi in the Gemara versus the way others would have read the Gemara. I think those are both legitimate. Now, how is the Tiferes Yisrael actually answering Rabbi Akiva Eiger? That's really, I think, the question here that we have to address. One very good answer would be to give like the Sfas Emes that we saw below, but I think you can even say differently. Right? What was I going to say over here? To answer as follows. He's going to say that this goes, and I think this is a very fair answer. I will admit to you, I don't see a clear answer to Tiferes Yisrael. But I think what Tiferes Yisrael is trying to say like this. If you look at the way he explains Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda de Islay Mukta, Lahachi Eitzim Shebe Mukta, Shelo Zimnan Lahasaka, Shapir Asirim. They weren't set aside for Asaka, and therefore they're for sure going to be Aser. Vereisha betevin deshari afshar beotzer mayri below chazil v'emel of minyan vaz mitstama asro lehasaka. So what did I want to say over here? I just have to think for a moment. Maybe I wanted to say the answer of the of the Sfas Amos as well. I have to think. Definitely the kasha of the Tiferes Tzvah falls off from Kivegra. I thought I also had a teretz. I honestly can't recall it right now how I read the Tiferes Tzvah answer. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't understand the Rabbi Akiva Eger, because if he's basing on Rashi, and you just defined Rashi's term of Otzer as it's not Ru'i L'Achila, so why does he even have a question of saying that Rashi could have said Achila L'Behema equally as L'Hasaka?
One more time?
Okay. You have here, V'ida Me'iri B'Otzer.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that it's in Otzer,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about that it's Muksa,
mm-hmm.
it's just as great of a chiddush to say that it's for that you could give it to Behema as it is that you can use it for burning.
Correct.
Okay, but Rashi says it's not Ru'i for Behema. His definition of Otzer is it's not fit for an animal.
Right.
So why?
Thank you. You jogged my memory there for a moment. That's exactly what I wanted to say in terms of answering Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha. Is that if in fact Rashi has this separate definition of Otzer here in the Gemara, and in that case, the reason why Rashi said Lehesek is not to teach you an additional chiddush, but because that's what it was being used for in that read of the Gemara. Thank you. That's exactly the answer that I wanted to get. You jogged my memory here. This was the point of the Tiferes Yisrael. I mean, the Tiferes Yisrael, if you look back at his language, doesn't really answer the question of Rabbi Eger. And he's answering no. V'az mistama atzro lahasaka. It's not about an extra chiddush. Oh, I'm telling you a chiddush. It's because according to Rashi, if it is a case of Otsar, and as we saw, Rashi says it is a case of Otsar, like we explained to Tiferes Yisrael, then that's the only case you can give. That's the only case you can explain. And that's the way that the Tiferes Yisrael would argue over here, that the first case of the Mishnah is L'Otsar. How is it L'Otsar? Only in a case of Stamei L'Eitzim. And that's why Rashi couldn't say this is the Machal Behema. This was exactly... Thank you. I'm sorry that I forgot that, but thank you for jogging my memory. And that's exactly how I think the Tiferes Yisrael would answer. So you come out with actually two very beautiful ma'alchim in the whole Gemara. Rashi, who we said, again, in our opinion, reads a little bit better like the Tiferes Yisrael, always agrees that the first case is a case of Otsar. Always agrees that Maschil Bar Ramah Satevan is a case of Otsar. Except that according to the second Lashon HaGemara, you can only read that as a case of Hesek. If it's a case of Hesek, that's why Rashi has to say, Afshelo Zimna LaHesek, right? And even though, again, it sounds a little bit like Rashi there, he's going in the opinion of Rishimon, and it turns out that we're really trying to explain more in terms of the opinion of Yehuda, nevertheless, that's how Rashi learns it. And both cases in the Gemara, again, are talking about a case of Otzar. Rashi Emkin, according to the other way we read the Gemara, that ein maschilin ba'otzar tchila, that would be talking about the second case. But the first case would be shelo le'otzar, like those achronim read in Rashi, as we saw above, that when it's stamei le'etzim, then it's not le'otzar, right? That was that Maharam. And that's how Rabbi Akiva Eger would read the Gemara and say that therefore it could be le'otzar, it could be shelo le'otzar, depends on which lashon of the Gemara that you have. And therefore, that's why, because of the two Lashonos of the Gemara, that's where they depart, and that's how essentially we answer the question. Not in terms of a halachic chiddush, but in terms of an ukimta chiddush, that it is a case of Otzar. If it's a case of Otzar, it has to be lahasaka. And that's the way we're going to answer. Thank you all very, very much. It really, really helped me along here. It's not usually that I forget one of the things that I try to say in this year, but happened today. So thank you all.
Right.
Shabbat shalom to everybody.
Good night. Good Shabbos, everybody.